Hi, everyone. Aaron here of Deep English. I hope you're doing well today. I want to talk to you about some of the words and phrases that Dan and I used in our conversation about UFOs and aliens. So let's get started. Or let's get this show on the road. And that's the very first phrase that actually Dan uses at the beginning of the recording. He says, let's get this show on the road. And I follow by saying, let's do it. So this is an expression that you can use when you want to say, let's get going. Let's get started. Let's begin. Let's get moving. Let's do it, right? So at the beginning of some kind of event or some kind of process that involves other people, you can use this phrase. So now it often is used in a context where there's kind of an undertone of the meaning, let's stop wasting time. Like, what's holding things up? We really want to get going. Something's not quite right. That's kind of how it's used. So, for example, let's imagine you're a parent, you've got two kids, and it's early in the morning, and they're lying around, you know, they haven't finished their breakfast, they haven't gotten dressed yet, and the school bus is coming in like 20 minutes. So they're going to be late. So you might say to them, hey, come on, guys, let's get this show on the road. Come on, you're going to be late, like this. Or let's say you're waiting in line at the bank, and you're waiting for the window to open after the lunch break. They take a break at lunch, and it's supposed to open right at 1 o'clock. And it's already 1:05. People are getting impatient. And so someone shouts out, what's going on? You know, let's get this show on the road. Come on. You know, we have things to do today, right? Like this. They're a little bit impatient. So that's kind of the feeling this often has. But Dan is just using it to mean, okay, let's get started. So it can be used that way too. All right, let's move on to the next, which is off track, right? We're talking about psychedelic mushrooms and psychotropic plants, and Dan says, yeah, but we're getting a little off track here. So if you imagine a train on a track and the train jumps off the track, it needs to get back on the track in order for the passengers to reach their final destination. So when you get off track of what you're saying, you can use this phrase. To be off track means to be sidetracked, or you get away from the main purpose of the conversation. You're off track. You go off on a tangent. Sometimes speakers do this when they're giving a speech about one topic, and then they tell a story which leads to another story, and they're getting off track. So they might say, wow, I'm getting a bit off track here. As I was saying before, coming back to the main point, like this. Sometimes I get off track when I do these recordings, and maybe you sometimes get off track when you're speaking in front of people. It's a common thing. Moving on, a bit later, I'm telling Dan about the UFO I saw as a small boy, and I said it was large, and it was above the house across the street, and then suddenly it just shot off and disappeared very quickly. So this phrasal verb, shoot off, what does that mean? Well, it comes from the verb to shoot, as in a gun or as in an arrow. And of course, an arrow and a bullet coming out of a gun and an arrow coming off of a bow is traveling very quickly. So to shoot off means to escape quickly, to go away very fast. Another way of saying this is dart off, right? I could have said it darted off and disappeared very quickly. So we use that to mean go away very, very fast. Also, we can use it in the context of sending something very quickly. For example, like an email, for example. I shot off an email to my friend to see if she was going to come to the party tonight. I shot her off an email. I shot off a quick email. I shot off a message. I shot off a quick message. Okay, it means to send out very quickly. All right. Moving along, Dan mentions to me about me being annoyed with my parents for dismissing my claim of seeing a UFO. And I told Dan, yeah, it bothered me for a little while, but then I dropped it, right? It didn't bother me after that, but I still remember it. And he says, yeah, it stuck with you. And this is a really useful phrase. which means to remember for a very long time. Something that sticks with you is something you will never forget, or probably never forget. It sticks with you. Memories stick with you. Good memories stick with you, and bad memories stick with you. The memories that don't stick with you are probably, you know, not extreme enough for you to remember them. So, for example, the birth of my children, that memory is very crystal clear in my mind. It's stuck with me all these years. I have a memory of riding on my dad's back when I was like 2.5, 3 years old. And for some reason, that memory has stuck with me all these years, whereas I've forgotten almost every other memory at that age. But that is a memory that has stuck with me. Now, we can also use stick with someone to mean like remain associated with. So it's not just memories. It could be like a nickname that sticks with you. For example, when I was in high school, one of my seniors gave me the nickname Soup because my last name is Campbell, the name of a famous soup company. And that nickname stuck with me throughout all my years of high school. People called me Soup. Not everybody. Some people did. And after high school, it was gone. It did not stick with me anymore, right? It was, no one ever called me that. And I'm happy because I don't really like it that much. Other things that can stick with people are reputations. So, for example, a guy named George, he moves into a new community and he gets very upset easily at things. And as soon as he started to get upset, he quickly developed a reputation that stuck with him for many, many years, right? A reputation of getting upset easily, getting upset quickly. Okay, so stick with. All right, moving along, the next is come across, right? Here's another phrasal verb, to come across. Dan says, that's my UFO experience. How about you? Have you ever come across a UFO? Actually, maybe I said this. I don't think Dan said this. I think I may have said this. Have you ever come across a UFO? And what does this mean, to come across? It just means to encounter or find or see in a way that was not planned or predetermined. In other words, serendipitously. So, for example, you're hiking down a trail in the woods and you come across a hornet's nest. Look out, right? Danger. Or maybe you're cleaning out your closet at home and you come across an old family photo. You weren't looking for the family photo. You just came across it. You happened to see it or find it like this. So, yeah, Dan has said, Or maybe it's, I can't remember who said it. Have you ever come across a UFO? Have you ever, you know, seen one is another way of saying it, but not planning to do so, not looking for it. You just come across it. Or from a different perspective, maybe the UFO comes across you if there are aliens inside. So from the perspective of aliens, they come across you when they fly by in the sky. Okay, the next one is slow on the uptake, right? We're talking about our UFO experiences. And, it was me. It was me that said, have you ever come across a UFO? And Dan's answer was, well, yeah, I mean, I came across an unidentified flying object. And I said, Dan, that's a UFO. That is a UFO, unidentified flying object. And he says, well, there are some people, and I thought you might be one of them, Aaron, that are a little slow on the uptake, right? So this is Dan joking with me, as he often does, and someone who is slow on the uptake means they are slow to understand what is going on, especially if there is some kind of inferred meaning or some kind of meaning that needs a little bit of work on the listener to figure out, okay? So he says unidentified flying object as if I did not know that UFO meant unidentified flying object. Of course, I do. But people who are slow on the uptake might not, you know, make that connection that UFO means unidentified flying object. And teachers do this all the time. They, you know, we're both teachers and we tend to over-explain things sometimes because we're used to people not knowing what we're trying to teach them. So anyway, I'm getting off track here. To be slow on the... So uptake means kind of uptake. If you imagine taking up a meaning or taking up some information. So for example, someone who doesn't get jokes very easily. Someone tells a joke and then four people hear the joke, three people laugh, and the other one has a confused look on his face. He's like, what? I don't get it. He's a little slow on the uptake. It takes him longer to understand the meaning of a joke. Or maybe you're at someone's house for dinner and it's getting late and you start to draw. You don't just say it directly, but you give some signals to the host that you need to get home. Like, well, I got a big day tomorrow. I got to get up early and it's getting late, that kind of thing. That means you're signaling to the host you want to go home. But if the host is a little slow on the uptake, he or she might say, oh, why don't we watch a movie, or why don't we look at some photos? I can show you about my trip to Europe last summer. And they're not, you know, getting the meaning. They're a little slow on the uptake. And we often say it like that. He's a little slow on the uptake. Or, yeah, that guy's... He's a little slow on the uptake, like that. You got to be careful with that. It's not sometimes a nice thing to say about someone. All right, moving on. BS. What's that mean? Dan says, we're talking about this story of Travis Walton and how he was abducted by aliens, and he was a logger, and he was with coworkers at the time, and they had this story, and Dan says, maybe it's BS, but over the course of the decades, they've all stuck by their story, okay? So BS. Actually, stick by is the next one we're going to talk about. But Dan says, maybe it's BS. What does he mean? BS stands for bullshit. Now, bullshit is kind of a strong word, and it's not a very nice word. So when you say that, it has a very strong effect on people. So you have to be careful. And there are many alternatives to saying bullshit. BS is one of them. It stands for bullshit. B, bull, S, shit. Bullshit. What is bullshit, by the way? Bullshit, in this example, means it's not true. It's bullshit. It's not true. It's BS, right? So Dan says maybe the story's not true, but they have told that same story over and over, and the story hasn't changed. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it's BS, right? Maybe it's bullshit. But they've stuck by their story. Other ways of saying bullshit are baloney. It's baloney. It's hogwash. If you're British, you might say it's rubbish. It's complete rubbish or garbage. And it just means, you know, it's not true. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous, like this, right? It's bullshit. It's baloney. BS. Okay, moving along. Same exchange. Dan says maybe it's BS, but over the courses of the decades, they've stuck by their story. They've stuck by it. Stick by something. To stick by something means to, you know, remain faithful to it. You've stuck by it. They've remained faithful to the story they have told for many, many years. It has not changed at all. You have to stick by a story, especially if you're a liar. If you're telling a lie, it's very important that you stick by the original story. Otherwise, people will discover that you are lying. And I think that's why many spiritual teachers, you know, tell us to tell the truth, because in order to keep track of all your lies, it does not give you peace of mind. And you want peace of mind if you want to be happy and, you know, well. So, yeah, anyway, it means to remain faithful to. Let's imagine a husband and his wife gets very, very sick, and it takes her many years, and she slowly deteriorates, and eventually she dies, but he stuck by her, right, the whole time. He loved her till the end. He took care of her till the very end. He stuck by her. He remained faithful to her as a husband, like this. Okay, moving on. The next one is to game something. To game something. What does that mean? Well, we're talking about lie detectors at this point in the conversation. And I say to Dan, as he's talking about lie detectors, I say, yeah, but, you know, those lie detectors, they can be gamed, right? So to game something means to kind of, you know, manipulate or cheat or be deceptive for your own benefit. And we often game systems for our own benefit. For example, the tax system. There are, in every country, there are many tax laws, and sometimes they're very complicated and hard to understand. But for people who do understand the tax laws, they can game that system in a way where that minimizes the amount of tax that they have to pay, even if it's legal. Or other people game it in illegal ways. You shouldn't do that. I mean, taxes are a good thing for a society, but some people try to game that system. They game the tax system. We have a tool that we use at our university that keeps track of student reading activities. And the way it works is students read a book and then they take a quiz. And if they pass the quiz, they get the word count for that book. And the idea is that we want our students to read lots and lots of words so that they increase their vocabulary and they increase their reading speed and they become much better at English. But some students don't want to read, and therefore they try to game the system. They'll go online and maybe read a summary of the book in their native language and then try to take the quiz. Or maybe they'll just read one book and then they'll help all their friends take the quiz. They'll take the quiz for all the other friends on their phones, even though their friends didn't read the book, and vice versa. So they help each other out. It's clever, but it doesn't help them to get better at English. They're gaming the system. Have you ever tried to game a system for your own benefit? Okay, moving on. There's a couple more. Freak out. Freak out. There's a nice little phrasal verb. What does that mean, to freak out? Dan says, we're talking again about gaming lie detectors. And Dan says, some people will put a tack, like a thumbtack, in their shoe, and they'll prick their toe to make their body freak out to confuse the test. Okay, in this situation, freak out means to kind of lose composure, to get thrown out of whack, we say, or to somehow upset what is normal, right? You upset what is normal. So if his body freaks out, maybe the blood pressure goes up and the body starts to sweat, or maybe the body trembles, or something just gets thrown out of whack. Right? Body freaks out. However, that's actually not the most common way to use freak out when we're talking about like your body system. It is perfectly acceptable what Dan says, but a more common use of this phrasal verb is when talking about people who get upset, right? They freak out. Very upset, not just mildly upset, very upset. So for example, you could freak out in anger. So there was a famous basketball coach, college basketball coach, way back in the 80s. His name was Bobby Knight, and he coached Indiana University. And sometimes he would get very upset on the court, and sometimes he would freak out, and he'd pick up a chair, and he'd throw it onto the court in the middle of the game. And then the referees would have to eject him, and it made a big scene. He got very upset, very animated. He used to freak out, right, on the court. He was famous for that, or maybe I should say infamous for doing that. Some people freak out of fear. So they don't get angry. They get really afraid and freak out. They might start screaming or shaking or shivering. People who are afraid of heights sometimes freak out, right? When they find themselves in a very high place, they might really get upset. Fall to their knees and start shaking and quivering and moaning or whatever. And some people freak out because they're in shock from grief or some kind of tragedy happens. If a father hears about the tragic death of his son, he could freak out and start yelling and screaming and hitting something. People freak out sometimes. They lose their composure. Perhaps you've freaked out in your life before, or maybe you've seen people freak out, right? It's quite common as part of our human condition to get upset at times. All right, the very last one is crackpot. A crackpot. We're talking about UFO research and how nobody wanted to look like a crackpot, right? So they just ignored UFOs, right? Nobody wanted to look like a UFO nut, Dan says. A nut. Nobody wanted to look like a crackpot. Nut and crackpot have the exact same meaning. It just means crazy person, right? a nutcase, a lunatic, a wacko, a kook, a loon, right? A crackpot. But very important, when you use this phrase, crackpot or nut or something like that, it's not like a crazy person in a violent way or a very bad, bad way. It means it's a person who has some kind of crazy ideas or strange behaviors that are not necessarily harmful. They could be, but they're not, that's not the main intention. So you wouldn't call someone a crackpot if they're like an evil, you know, we would call that person psycho, right? Or psychotic or something like that. But crackpot has a softer, more gentle meaning, and it tends to mean people who are crazy because of their ideas or crackpot, right? Kind of a nutcase. Okay. And there's one more way to say this. I just thought of it. Fruitcake. That's a nice way to, I suppose, call someone a crazy person. He's a total fruitcake, right? It just means he has crazy ideas, strange behaviors. He's a fruitcake, right? Okay, that brings us to the end of this commentary. I do hope you found something interesting and useful in some of these words and phrases. Please recognize them when you hear them and definitely try to use them in your own conversations. Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you next month.